Thank you, Steve. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15 is the same text that we looked at last week. Last week we talked about sowers. We talked about sowers must be a certain number of things. And this week we're going to talk about God and His part in that equation. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, looking at verses 6 through 15. Remember this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not out of regret or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness, as you are enriched in every way for all generosity which proceeds thanksgiving to God through us, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many acts of thanksgiving to God. Through the proof of this service, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with others. And in their prayers for you, they will have deep affection for you because of the surpassing grace of God on you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need to understand this. We know it's true, and we embrace Scripture as true, but we need to know what it means in our lives today as we live and walk with You. So help us to understand now, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of similar things that we don't really quite know what the difference is, and oftentimes we like to discuss that, and one of my favorites is the difference between a fruit and a vegetable. And we would look in the garden and we would see watermelons and tomatoes and cantaloupes and muskmelons and squash, and we would say, what a nice assortment of vegetables, but in reality all of those were fruits. And I ran across a book a couple weeks ago that talked about the differences in things that are assumed to be similar or things that we don't know. And the difference between a fruit and a vegetable is that in a fruit is where the seeds are contained in the fleshy matter of the food. So in a tomato, the seeds are inside the fleshy or the meaty part of the tomato. It's a fruit. In a watermelon, the seeds are inside the fruit, and so it is a fruit. A vegetable is the edible part of a plant. A bulb, a stalk, a bulb like a radish or a carrot, or the stalk like celery, or the flowers like broccoli or cauliflower. And that's the difference. And in soda, I ran across this one. What's the difference between seltzer and club soda and tonic water? And I thought, well, I don't know. And so I looked it up, and seltzer is a flavorless, effervescent beverage. That's it. It's just water or a beverage that's just bubbly. And originally I found out it was natural. They actually found it in a natural state somehow, and they bottled it as seltzer, and people liked it. And later on they began to make it artificially, which is what we would have as soda or pop or something like that. So what's club soda? Is that the same thing as seltzer? Well, club soda is seltzer with a little bit of sodium bicarbonate in it, and what that does, it gives it kind of a medicinal effect, and it helps to relieve an upset stomach or something like that. So what's tonic water? Well, tonic water is the same thing with a little bit of quinine in there, which is a bark extract. And what that does, originally it was to help prohibit malaria. And so you got your seltzer, your club soda, and your tonic water. I found another one, vanilla. Now you might think that French vanilla is just a really good form of vanilla, but it's not. Vanilla is the extract, the flavoring extract that comes from a bean, and French vanilla is a custard made with a lot of egg yolks. Not vanilla at all. Or how about this? I like this one. Robbery and burglary. Do you know the difference? Robbery is when you take something by force or by fear. Burglary is just when something is taken. So it's kind of like this. If you're home and you're scared by the person who's stealing from you, that's a robbery. If you're not home and they take your stuff, that's a burglary. Isn't that amazing? Little things that we didn't know, but now we do. And why do I share all of that? Because it occurred to me last week as the Big Six was unfurled and it's up on the wall that we need clarity. When we say that we want to sow six, what are we talking about? What does that mean? What are we going to sow? How are we going to do it? What tools are available for us? What is our seed? We need clarity. If you were to say to someone, this year at our church, we are going to sow six, that could mean lots of different things. They might think you're going to make a garment, but we know differently. And so this morning, I want us to have clarity. And by the end of today's message, we're going to look at a couple of things. We're going to look at what God's part of the equation is. Last week was sowers. Sowers must be diligent, but it doesn't tell us what we're sowing. Sowers must be anticipating hardship. They must sow in faith. They must depend on God. They must see the task, and sowers must actually sow. So we know that, but the question still remains, so what? And we want to continue to answer that today. And so today we're going to look from this passage at some of the principles that God gives us that are His part in the equation, and where we're going to end up then is what exactly it is that we are going to sow this year based on the principles of the Word of God, so that we have clarity and so that we know the difference between just sowing and sowing intentionally with a purpose in a specific direction. So what does God tell us from these passages that is His part in the equation? Now, last week, every point started with sowers. Sowers must be this or that or do this or that. And today, every point starts with God. And so number one today is that God gives more reaping from more sowing. That's His part in the equation. He just says that's the way it works. So when I read the Bible, I'm comforted by knowing the fact that God makes reaping happen if I'm faithful in sowing. And so often we are crippled. Oh, look at that. I got a wrong side. That is supposed to be you reap more if you sow more, is that God gives more reaping from more sowing. So we'll just check those as we go. I remember changing that one this week. But God gives more reaping from more sowing. So that as we sow, as we're faithful, as we don't necessarily focus on what am I harvesting, what am I harvesting, what am I harvesting, the Bible tells us as we sow more and more and more, God makes a harvest out of that. And that's God's responsibility. Our responsibility is to be faithful in the sowing, and that's a much more graspable task for me than knowing that I have to harvest. I can be faithful in sowing. You know, God gives more reaping from more sowing. That's true on two ways, even as I was a farmer. I remember as a farmer that population of what I was planting was very important. For example, if I plant one kernel of corn per acre, I'm not going to have a very big yield, right? An acre is 43,000 square feet. So one stalk in the middle is not going to do too good. If I plant about 20,000 plants per acre, I'm going to get a pretty good yield. If I plant 30,000 plants per acre, I'm going to get a better yield. If I plant 35,000 plants per acre, I'm going to have optimum yield. If I plant 100,000, it's going to go way, way down because they'll choke each other out. So there's an optimum level, but as we sow more, we reap more, even in our crops. And there's a point of overkill. If you went to someone every day, hour after hour after hour, and just plagued them with sowing, if you oversowed, you probably would kill that relationship, just like 100,000 plants per acre of corn would kill that field. Also, if I want to be a bigger farmer and have more fields and more harvest and more grain, I would sow more acres. I would sow in more places. I would rent more land. And so it is with us in our Christian walk. As we sow more in volume, how often we do it, the population that we're planting, as we sow in more places, sowing at work, at home, even in the grocery store, you can sow a seed of the gospel. As we do that, God brings the increase. Second is already up there, and I changed that one too to have it be about God. Second is that God tells us to decide to sow. This almost seems too simple to be true to even say. Think of it. If I don't decide to do something, will I ever do it? all of you decided this morning that you were going to set your alarm, take a shower, clean up, get in your car, and drive down here and come to the service. There was a decision that preceded the activity. And if you don't decide that, oftentimes you don't do it. And even in our sowing, the Bible tells us that each person should do as he has decided in his heart. Emphasis on decide. Can you decide this morning with us at this church in your life with the gospel in your walk with God that you will sow? Can you decide to do that because God wants us to be that decisive? God wants us to say, you know, I don't know just exactly where or how or why, but I want to be a sower. Let every man be persuaded in his own mind and let him decide to sow. Number three. Oh, there. I changed the first two. Now we're back on track. God replenishes your seed as you sow. This really hit me this week. Because so often as we sow, even on the farm or in your garden, as you plant, you run out of things and it's gone. And you might want to be careful that you don't plant too much of one seed or another because you're saving some back. But when we sow in the kingdom of God, as we sow, the seed is replenished in abundance. And we know this is true. People that are good sowers of the gospel are good sowers of the gospel because their seed has been constantly replenished. Remember the widow in the Old Testament who was running out of oil and flour as she was making bread and the prophet was there? And every time she dumped, it just kept coming. And this small can of oil repeatedly dumped out oil. That's how it is when we sow. I actually think that as we sow, the can gets bigger and it grows. And not only does the sowing keep coming out and there's more seed, but it is an increasingly large supply. And as we sow, as we become acclimated to that environment, as we learn to do that, God gives us more seed, more passion, more desire. In verses 8 through 10, God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way you have everything you need so that you may excel in every good work. You can't sow too much. You just can't in this regard. As you sow into the life of people and in the community and in finances and the gospel and Bible study, as you sow, God replenishes that and gives you more seed. Number four, God brings the harvest if you sow. This is His responsibility. In verse 10, now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. The one who gives you the seed, the one who says decide to sow, the one who says you can't outgive me, that one, that God that we serve, He is the one who gives us bread, who gives us seed. And it says that the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will multiply the seed and increase your harvest. Remember the parable of the talents? Somebody had one and somebody had five and somebody had ten and one person buried theirs and God took it away. And He said, if you're just faithful with what you have, I will give you more. Beloved, we know the gospel. We know where we can sow it. We know those that we meet. I'm convinced if we're faithful in the small ways where God convicts us to sow, God will give us more opportunities and more seed and more sharing. And we need that. We want that. God brings the harvest if you sow. Number five, God teaches us thankfulness in sowing. This is interesting, but the conclusion of this passage, there's the last several verses, thanksgiving is the predominant theme. And as we leave the verse where it says, the one who provides seed and sowing and for the bread, food, and multiply your seed and increase your harvest, in verse 11 it says, as you are enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. As we involve ourselves in the sowing process, as we see our seed going out that God gives us and God replenishing our seed and God bringing the harvest in as a result of our faithfulness in sowing, God makes us thankful by that. And we begin to realize, I didn't have as much to do with this as I thought. All I have to do is be faithful in the sowing and scattering the seed and God brings the increase. And as I see what's happening around me, I'm overwhelmed with thankfulness because I begin to see that that's God working. Such a common testimony from someone who shares the gospel to say, I just couldn't believe it. All I did was just bring up the topic and the person was ready and they wanted to hear and they were asking questions and their heart was ripe for the harvest because that's how God works. If we don't sow, we don't see that. We diminish our thankfulness. as you sow where other people have sown, and you see a harvest that comes in someone coming to Christ, or someone understanding a scripture, or someone being faithful to a task that God has given, you become more thankful because you realize that God is the one that's doing the work. In verse 12, it says, "For the ministry of this service is not only for supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many acts of thankfulness to God." There's a sense in which our sowing that we do and our understanding of the process is a statement of our thankfulness to God. And so God, through sowing, teaches us thankfulness. Because I am thankful for God's provision to me, and because He has commanded me to, I tithe to my church, I give my offering. I sow, in a sense, financially back into the ministries of the church. It's a statement of thankfulness. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my income. I'm thankful for God's provision for me, so I sow back into it. I am thankful for those who have helped me in my life, in my work as a Christian, as my work as a seminary student, as my work in times past. I'm thankful for that, and so I am able to sow into the lives of others so that I can share that which I have received. And even in the end, at the very end, verse 15, the conclusion of this passage, Paul says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." There is a sense that when we understand sowing, and that if we sow generously, we reap generously, we see God's hand in the whole entire process, we get all done, and the concluding sentence is, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." And we become a part of a process that's much bigger than we are, and it makes us thankful. So God gives us more reaping from more sowing. God tells us to decide to sow. God replenishes our seed as we sow. God brings us the harvest if we sow. And God teaches us thankfulness in our sowing. So what do we want to sow? I've wrestled for some weeks to distill this down to the exact thing so that we can say, here is exactly what we want to sow. And we want to look at six of those things this morning. Number one is the gospel. We absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wants us to sow the gospel in the lives of people around us. So this year, when we say sow six, we mean sow the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus came to pay the penalty for sinners who will repent and trust in Him. And we want to sow that. We want to tell someone who's hurting or aching or feeling the weight of their sin or who does not have a relationship with God. God paid for that sin with Jesus Christ on a cross. You can receive forgiveness. Maybe for the person who lives without a relationship with God, we say, you know, God loves you. God wants to have a relationship with you. God has prepared hell for those who defy Him in this life, and God has prepared heaven for those who believe. And the gospel, the good news, is that God has made a way to Him through Jesus, and we want to sow that. As we relate with people, as we share with those that we meet and talk to, we sow little tiny seeds of that gospel. My quick sowing for those that I meet very casually, oftentimes I might say, "Hey, did you go to church this Sunday?" Maybe I said on a Monday. And the person might say, "No, I never go to church." And I might say, "Oh, well, you really should." It's the most I can get in 20 seconds, but I sow a seed of saying, "You don't have a relationship with God. Maybe you should think about that." I asked one guy on a Saturday if he was going to go to church on Christmas morning, and he said, or I don't remember exactly how it went, but he said, "No, but maybe I should go another time." And I said, "Oh, that'd be a great idea." A seed, a small seed, first in a moment. So we want to sow the gospel this year. The Bible tells us, "Go ye into all the world, Judea, Samaria, everywhere, and sow the gospel, make disciples." Secondly, we want to sow relationships. We want to sow relationships. What do I mean by that? It's impossible to effectively share the gospel at some sense without something of a relationship. Now, at a checkout stand, granted, that's pretty quick, and you even have a momentary relationship as you smile at the person and pay your money and ask them a question, and maybe you notice something on their shirt, and you can say, "Oh, wow, I've been to that concert," or "I like that brand too," or something. There's somewhat of a relationship. And in the bigger picture, there are those that we build relationships as we live our lives. Those who are our neighbors over months, over years. Those that we work with for extended periods of time. We sow into relationships. We must be intentional. Are you building relationships with people who are not saved so that you can share with them the gospel? That's intentional sowing. I want to have those people in my life.
I want you to have those people in your life where you are building a relationship because you care about their walk with God. And we can do that both with those who are unsaved and those who are saved. We build relationships in our church so that we can be sustained through times of grief or sorrow, or so that we have a place to fellowship. And we build relationships with the lost so that we can share the gospel. We want to sow in 2006 the gospel. We want to sow relationships. We also want to sow adoration. It's a very important part of the Christian life for us to express our joy to God, our thanks to God, to adore Him. What I mean by adoration maybe is worship. I could have put that we could sow worship this year, but it doesn't work in my word that we're spelling. But adoration for God. Do you come to church on a Sunday morning ready to say, "Oh God, I love You. Thank You for the week. Thank You for Your grace to me. Thank You for Your kindness." That's worship. We want to sow in the gospel and in relationships the fact that we love God more than all things, and Jesus Christ is our ultimate treasure because we adore Him, we worship Him, we praise Him, we exalt Him above all things. We want to sow in adoration to God. Fourthly, we want to sow in prayer. We know if we read our Bibles that not much happens without prayer. The Bible writers tell us to pray without ceasing. Pray for all things, that God listens to prayer. When we pray to God, when we fellowship with Him, when we talk to Him in that way, it's the way that God shows us what His will is for our life. And so many people say, "I just don't know what God's will is for my life. I just don't know what He wants me to do, and I have the decision." Pray much. Pray to God. Talk to Him. As you pray, as you communicate with God, He reveals His will. He speaks back to us. He shows us what He would have us to do. And so we want to pray much. We want to sow in our prayers this year as we sow six. Fifthly, we want to sow in education. What I mean by education is knowledge of the Word of God. We want to educate ourselves. We want to be educated. We want to study. The Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed." And so as we look at this year, I want to understand the Word of God more. I want to say, where are the places in my life that I'm going to sow into my mind truth of the Word of God? Where am I going to be sowing into the lives of others the truth? If you're a Sunday school teacher, you sow the truth. You are educating those around you in the things of God. If you preach in a pulpit, sometimes some of you guest preach other churches, and we have pastors that are a part of the convention that go out and preach in other churches. They are educating. They are sowing seeds of biblical knowledge as they teach the congregations that they preach to. And so as we sow this year, we want to understand a very important part of that is to understand the things of God and to sow in study and education. And lastly, we want to sow in stewardship. We want to sow in stewardship. The passage from 2 Corinthians was specifically about money that was being collected to take an offering for another church. But the passage has principles that are bigger than that. That's what it was about specifically, but the sowing, as Paul talks about, that he branches out into general areas of sowing and reaping. And he goes, hey, if you sow generously, you reap generously. What he meant for those people at that specific point in time is if you give to this offering that I will take to this church, God will replenish your supply, and God does that. And so this year we want to sow our stewardship. And what I mean by that is finances and treasure and talent and time. And as you look at this year, are you willing to sow into the budget, into the financial resources of our church, into our ministries, and say, yes, not only do I want to sow the gospel to the people that I meet, not only do I want to build relationships with those that are in my life, both saved and unsaved, not only do I want to adore God and worship Him and praise Him and exalt Him, not only am I going to pray about all things and sow the seeds of prayer, not only am I going to be educated in the things of God and help to educate others, but I am going to be faithful in stewardship with my resources to God. Beloved, I think that these are six, not things just that God wants us to sow this year because we picked them, but six biblical things where the Bible says if you sow these things, you will reap a harvest. I want us to do that. I want us to sow six with these things. What does that look like? I want to share some personal stories from those of you that I've talked with in the past few weeks of what it looks like to be sowing.
Most all of you that I'm going to say your names, you don't know I'm going to do this, but I've watched Chuck Herman sew. I've watched him take lunches that were left over off a big stack outside of Promise Keepers and take them over and give them to homeless people and give them a Bible verse that was on one of our verse cards that was left over in our bulletin so that they might have a piece of scripture and a piece of food to eat so that it meets their physical need right at the moment as they're homeless and hungry and gives them some scripture so it makes them think about the things of God. That is sowing, beloved. It's sowing resources and stewardship, and it's sowing the gospel. John Walls was in my office this week, and we talked for a while, and we talked about his influence at Walmart where he works. And he says, you know, Pastor, I'm not even alone there. There are six other people that I know at Walmart that know Christ, and all of us together, we sow the seeds of the gospel, and we share things about God. And I thought, wow, six people plus John, seven people in one store that know Christ, that would plant a lot of seeds over time. I was talking to Jim Benson this week, and he shared with me two specific instances where someone this week, where he knew that his encounter with those persons, each of those two people, was a God-sized thing. And as he went to talk to one person, he said, I just knew that God was sending me there. And as I got there, I almost anticipated the conversation that would happen as I shared with this person and was able to listen to them, he said, for a rather long time. And then another smaller boy that he talked to, and he said he just thought it was a God appointment as he sowed the gospel and sowed the relationship and sowed into the lives of those persons. Sue Nagel shared with me a week or so ago that we, her and I, actually shared the gospel with the same person, unbeknownst to us. And we were talking about it, and we were like, you mean that? Yeah, that, yeah. Well, I talked to the same person. Me too. I thought two people from a church sharing with the same person in a big city. Tom Hayden and I had lunch one day at Culver's, and all of the tables were full, and people were standing around waiting for a seat. And so we saw a man standing alone holding a plate of food, and we thought, well, I said, Tom, you care if he joins us? So we went like this, and we moved our stuff over, and he came and sat down, and this gentleman that we've never met before, that we never knew, is eating dinner with us. And we ate our lunches, and he's like, oh, thanks for the seat. We're like, no problem, so what's your name? And we learned his name, and where he's from, and why he's here, and what he's doing. And we were getting up to leave, and I'll be honest with you, it wasn't me, it was Tom. Tom goes, hey, brother, do you go to church here in Rochester? And they had a conversation about where he goes to church, and Tom invited him to church because he just waved his hand and said, come on over, sit down and have lunch with us. And I thought, wow, that's sowing the gospel. That's sowing relationships. Beloved, that's how it happens. We sow the gospel in relationships and adoration to God, and we do this because we love Him and we pray and ask Him to help us, and we're educated so that we know the verses to say and the things to speak. And as you learn your verses this month, you will learn verses that will help you to sow when someone comes back at you with a question, maybe about Christ or about God. And then we sow in our stewardship, and we help to purchase into those resources and to help the programs that our church has set up to sow the gospel into the lives of others. We want to have helps available for you. I want to tell you some things that we're going to be doing this year that will help you to sow. We're going to have testimonies from sowers. Maybe on Sunday nights, I'm not sure just when, but we're going to have people that have sown the gospel, maybe that have led someone to Christ recently, come and share that testimony so that we can all rejoice in that. We're going to have sowing classes, S-O-W-I-N-G. We're going to talk about sowing the seeds of the gospel, and we're going to have sowing classes. I'm not sure how many or where, but we're going to have them to help you to understand how and where and why to sow the gospel. There's been talk about another Sunday school class that we might start for baby believers, for brand new people that come to Christ as we reach the lost for Jesus Christ, to drop them into a class where they can start from absolute scratch. A class for baby believers. We've talked about preparing our rooms in the back corners for baptisms. There's a lot of stuff back there, and maybe we should make a spot so that we could have a curtain ready or a place for someone to change clothes and get ready for baptisms so that we anticipate that it's going to happen, because it is, beloved. As a matter of fact, in February, we're going to have a baptism service, and if some of you have been thinking about that, if you've been prompted by the Holy Spirit, maybe I haven't been baptized in obedience to God, and I should, you can talk to me about that. But in February, we're going to do that. I hope that our baptistry is something that we're constantly changing that water, because every time we turn around, we need to baptize someone who has come to Christ. We're going to read more books, like The Unexpected Journey, which will encourage us to think about how we share the gospel and how we can do that and what it looks like to share.
We've talked about having a sowing log on the website. So those of you who have a situation where you've shared the gospel, you can drop us a quick email and there'll be like a blog on the webpage. You could click on that. You could read little stories, little people, little stories about where persons had the gospel shared with them or where someone was able to witness effectively. And that would be for our encouragement to say, wow, look at that. Person after person after person sharing the gospel, there's the log. And then we want to have a seed shed for you in the office. I want to have a place where you can come and get seed for sowing. And some of those resources I put up on the screen for you, but we have tracts available. And one of the tracts that we have is the Bible is full of mistakes. And it's kind of a trick tract because somebody might say, well, that's true. I want to read that. And as you read it, it's like you find out the Bible's not full of mistakes. It's the inerrant Word of God. Another tract that we have is... This is a really cute one. There's 100 one-liners in there that are just kind of cute sayings. And right in the middle is the truth about the gospel, the Word of God, a very attractive little tract. Another one that we have is the Romans Road, a very simple tract that walks you through the Romans Road. And these will be available. We want you to have, you could carry one in your car, in your purse, in your wallet, and just be able to have that. Another one that's interesting is the World's Best Optical Illusions. And click one more time on that. And inside that is a number of different optical illusions. And then there's the gospel shared in a way that says, you know what? There's something that isn't an optical illusion. It talks about a relationship with God and how you could have the illusion that you have a relationship with God, but in reality you do not. We have that tract available. What's next? Yeah, this one's an interesting one too. Test your reading skills. On the back of this card, all the letters of all the words are scrambled. But the first and last letter of every word is the same. And you can read it remarkably well because they tell us that's all we need is the first and last letter. You can scramble the middle ones and you can just read. And as you're reading that and as you're amazed about how remarkable it is you can read it, the middle section is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it ties in this. And it's a remarkable little one-sided little flip-over track that we have available. So we're going to have those available for you in the office absolutely free of charge. Take one or two with you. Carry them around. Some of these aren't in stock yet, but they're coming. What's next? Oh, then we have some dollar bills that are fake. And when you turn them over, it talks about what is real treasure. And the bottom corner one is a million-dollar bill, but it's got the gospel on it. And the top one is a gigantic bill that would catch somebody's attention, and that is a tract as well. On the left is coins. The top left one is the Ten Commandments on a round aluminum coin that you could give as a reminder or to talk to someone. Hey, you know, you've been keeping the Ten Commandments. You know, God has a law. He wants us to keep it. Do you know God? And the bottom one is a pressed penny that has the Ten Commandments on it. We want to have, next slide, we have these already. These are tip cards. And the top card is in red. It says thanks. And as you leave a tip at a restaurant for someone, you could leave that card with your tip. And that says, thank you for your service. I just wanted to say, if we never meet again, that I have a relationship with God. I wanted to give you a few words about that. That top card has on the back of it our logo. On the bottom is Emmanuel Baptist Church, our name, address, website, and phone number. And if you're not sure you want to leave that, the bottom card, the blue one, is generic. You can leave it and nobody knows where you came from. So if you're a little embarrassed to leave a tip card and you don't want to leave our church name on there, you can leave the bottom one. But both are available. One has our church name and phone number, and the other one is blank. We also have something that we're going to just start doing, the verse cards. I've had numerous ones of you share with me that you have given verse cards to people that were left over. And I thought, wow, what a great idea, because we have 20 or 30 left over every week and we save them. So you have verse cards, you can give them out. Next slide, we're going to put our church name and address on the back. So if you wanted to carry five or six and you wanted to give someone that you meet just a good word and say, hey, you know, I understand and we've talked about this for a while and this has been really hard in your life and here's a verse that's helped me. Just pull that verse out and give that to them. And you could say, hey, here's a verse I memorized that God has really encouraged me and I want you to have a copy of that. Who knows where those verses will go? And we have hundreds of these available. Just a simple thing to stick in your wallet, stick in your purse and take with you. We also have New Testaments, little tiny ones that cost a dollar. And maybe there's the person or the place where you have that New Testament where you could hand that out. These are all in the office. We're even going to learn this year sometime how to mark them so you can easily walk through a gospel presentation by putting the next page number of what's coming up next. And then we have books available on The Unexpected Journey. There's a lot of those out there. Many of you have read it. There's 20 copies or so floating around. If you haven't seen that or you haven't had a chance, you could read that. You could borrow that from the library when they come back.
And then we have the MacArthur Daily Bible. This year I'm going through that. What that is every single day of the year, January 1 through the end, with a date, there is selections of Scripture that by the end of the year you will have read through every single, read the Bible through, but not necessarily in order. Every day is an Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and a New Testament. It's a really nice way to read the Bible through. There's a few of those in there. We might ask if you left a donation for those because they're about $15. But it might be a way where you could say, this year I'm going to sow into my own mind, and my education that I sow into is going to be as I read the Bible through. And there's a tool that's available, and I'm going to use that. And it's not too late to start. You're only 1 week late, and we have maybe five or six of those. What's next? Aha, nothing. Nothing is next. Beloved, we can do it. We can sow 2006 with the gospel. We can sow it with relationships and adoration and prayer and education and stewardship. And we can do it, and we know what it looks like. And God wants us just to decide to be sowing everywhere, every way, every how. So won't you join with me this year as we sow six together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would make our thinking and talking about sowing more than just little trinkets and tracts and books, but make it about a life sold out to God who loves, honors, and treasures Jesus Christ, who wants to share that joy with others. Father, give us a passion for sowing. Help us to know what it looks like. Help us to know when we're doing it. Help us to see opportunities where we can. Help us to ask You in our prayers for opportunities to sow the gospel into the lives of others. Help us do that this year, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.